Father, as we enter your presence tonight, we're so thankful that your presence has already been here and is still here. And we thank you, Father, for the flooding of the Holy Spirit that is going to engulf this place tonight. Father, I thank you for the words that Gary is about to speak, that he is led by the Holy Spirit. I thank you that we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to each and every one here tonight, Father. Lord, we're so thankful for your Son Jesus that was sent for us. And Lord, may we all have a revelation and an understanding that if we'd been the only one on this earth, you would have sent your Son just for me. Father, we're so thankful and so grateful for the places that you're about to take this entire group. And right now, I give you thanks in advance in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people,
amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many of y'all are convinced by now that the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues is to your benefit? Can I get a show of hands? It's by the Holy Spirit that He starts explaining to us the mysteries of the gospel so that we can understand the word that we've heard and it starts becoming life to us, right? Okay, besides that, when you don't know what to pray for as you ought, and the Holy Spirit makes intercession for you according to the perfect will of God. So, I mean, if you all would put any confidence in my prayers or Sue's prayers or Gerald's prayers, that would be one thing. But how many of you think you could put confidence in the Holy Spirit praying for you? See? So knowing that, I know everybody here is at least given an hour or two a day to praying in the Holy Ghost so that he can pray God's perfect will for you, you see? Okay. Hallelujah. Tell me I'm not a faith man. Did you hear what I just said? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Now, can I get a witness on those that have put it into practice about walking the floor and confessing the word? Can we get some witnesses? Does it make a difference or not? Does it activate the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, activate the anointing of increase, causes the angels to go to work for you? They hearken to the voice of the word of God. If you're not voicing the word of God, they don't really have anything to hearken to in your life. And so your angels are on a perpetual vacation, probably bored. You know, so we've learned that praying in other tongues is to your benefit. Walking the floor, and I just say walking the floor again just so I don't fall asleep, but just confessing the word, just spending time doing nothing but confessing the word will cause great blessing to come to your life. You're establishing your course. Jesus is the way. The Holy Spirit is the how. Jesus is the way. When you start confessing the word, it's just like setting your thermostat on the wall for prosperity, health, and prosperity of soul, peace of mind. And you set that by confessing the word. Then when you start praying in other tongues, the Holy Spirit, he comes right behind that and he starts praying the how to get you from where you are now to what the word says about you. Got that down pretty straight? Okay, now. Tonight we're going to incorporate two of those things, though, into a strange phenomena that not very many people... Everyone likes to talk about it. Everyone likes to... thinks it's a good idea. But when it really comes right down to it, we're going to talk about real, honest-to-God prayer. The kind you do in your known tongue. The kind you do in English. How many of y'all know that's still a valid way to pray? You know... All right? And I call this tonight stubborn prayer. And I fought with that for a while because you could call it the prayer of faith. You could call it petitional prayer. You could call it, a lot of people call it name it and claim it. Now, I need to tell you this ahead of time. And it's not so much even for the people in this room, because I know where you're going to church and I know where you're getting fed. But for those that might get this tape, if all a person ever had was just this tape, See, the frustration for any teacher of the Word, he's only usually got an hour to an hour and a half to talk. You can't teach the whole Bible in an hour and a half, so you've got to emphasize one or two points. Now, for example, we're going to talk about the prayer of faith, and I'm telling you this works. Sue and I have been living by this for at least 2 years, or no, going on 2 years. And but if this, okay, here's the point. If all you heard was this part, okay, and never heard any of the rest of it, it won't work for you. And the reason I say that, this won't work for people that walk in strife and unforgiveness. I'm telling you right now, you know, if you're not going to work at, remember the first night we made that list about anybody you might have bitterness or resentment against, you better start praying for them and trusting the Lord to change your heart so that you really don't have resentment and bitterness toward them, see? I mean, he's not expecting you to do something you can't do. He said, just start praying for them, I'll change your heart. Okay, remember that lesson? So, see, that lesson goes along with this lesson. If you think the prayer of faith is going to work for you, if you're going around full of hatred and bitterness and gossip and cutting everybody up with your tongue, you got another thing coming. It's not either. It's not going to work either. Every time Jesus talked about the prayer of faith, and by that I mean Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And right after that he says, and when you stand praying, forgive. You know, if you do not forgive from your heart, neither will my Heavenly Father forgive you. When he taught about it in the Lord's Prayer, Father, give us this day our daily bread. He's talking about praying for the stuff you need. Right in the very next thing, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So you see how forgiveness is connected? Okay? Now here's another thing I got to preface this with. In the book of James, he said, you have not, y'all can quote this, you have not because you ask not. Now, to be quite honest with you, 80% of the Christians I know, that's the problem. They just flat don't ask. They think it would be presumptuous. They think God's too busy. Their problem is too small to bother with God about, or something like that. So just a lot of times we just don't ask. But then the rest of that verse says, or you ask and you ask amiss because you want to consume it on your own lusts. Now, I like to use a real extreme example of that because people get really wacky with it. Consume it on your own lusts. Really, if you look that up in the Greek, it says, because you're consuming it on evil. It's the word, if I remember right, kakos, K-A-K-O-S, if I remember right. And it means to do evil. For example, it won't do you any good to pray, Father, make me the best bank robber in Oklahoma. That's not the kind of prayer God's going to answer. Or, Father, I really like that man's wife. Give her to me. You understand? Or, what in the context James was talking about, he was primarily talking about these corrupted businessmen who were exploiting their employees. They were reaping the fields, but the businessmen were not paying them their hire and stuff like that. Now, if you think you're going to operate like that and then ask God to increase your business so you can oppress your workers even more, I don't think so. What do you think? Okay? Now, we're going to look at some real basic things on stubborn prayer. I like to call this just flat as stubborn as Kevin. Is he pretty stubborn? Huh? Can I get a witness? It's okay. I mean, he can't say nothing right now. He's at your Bible study. Stubborn prayer. Start with Mark 11:24. This is Jesus. Here is your classic prayer of faith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Now, does that pretty well include most things, David? What things soever? You know, that's consistent with a godly lifestyle. Again, make me the best bank robber in Oklahoma. That won't get it, okay? But, you know, anything consistent with a godly lifestyle. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. When? Yeah. Right then, when you pray, right? We're going to see a classic example of this that the Holy Ghost showed me. I've never heard anyone preach this connected with this verse before. But believe you receive them now, right now, when you pray, and you shall, that's future tense, have them. So you believe you receive it right now, but you don't really have it in your hand. Okay? But you shall have it, right? All right? So in the future. Now, here's the example that the Holy Ghost gave me, and this is a long passage, which we're not going to read, but I can tell you a little bit of the story, but I can put these verses on here because they're so critical. Y'all know Daniel? This is the same Daniel that went into the lion's den. You know, you've heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Okay? This is that same Daniel. And Daniel was wanting to know something from God. He needed an answer to prayer. So Daniel 10, chapter 2 says, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning," that means he was fasting, "for 3 full weeks. Now notice that, 3 full weeks. 21 days. Okay? Skipping on down to verses 12 and 13, "This angel appeared to Daniel, and then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel." Now look at this. "For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Now notice this. From the first day, that angel said, the prayer was heard the very first day. When do y'all think your prayer is heard? First day. Could Daniel see the angel the first day, though? Second day? What's first week? Second week. Beginning of the third week. Okay, you starting to get the point? Now, he didn't know. He's by the riverbank praying and fasting. And you think the same devil that's alive today that always telling you God's not hearing your prayers was there telling Daniel God wasn't hearing his prayers. Ain't nothing happened. Yeah, you see? But now the point was, when was the prayer heard? The first day. Jesus said, believe, you receive, when? When you pray. Your prayers are heard right then. You say, well, I don't see the answer. That's why Jesus said, you've got to believe God heard you. That the answer is on the way, right then, and you shall, in Daniel's case, 21 days later, have them. You see, that's a perfect example of that verse. Now, the prayer was heard the very first day. The angel was dispatched with the answer the very first day. God heard. Okay, angel, go. Bring the answer. All right? It was not God that was holding up the arrival of the answer. Now, got to get that straight. You pray for something, and it doesn't look like it's coming. What does the devil always say? It ain't coming, and why? God didn't answer your prayer. Or the answer is no. Isn't that what, you know what he says? You've been messing up. You know, you're not worthy for God to answer your prayer. I don't know what all he puts in there, but the end result is your prayer didn't get answered. Right? All right? Did Daniel's? The very first day, right? The angel's on the way. He couldn't tell it in the natural. What if Daniel would have quit on the 20th day, you guys? He would have, the testimony he would have had from then on was, well, I know God answers some people's prayers, but he just doesn't answer mine. Wouldn't that have been something like his testimony? Y'all ever think like that? Nobody's going to say yes in this Bible study. Hallelujah. But it was not God. See, that's the whole point. It's not God that's holding up the answer to your prayer. Daniel did not quit until he got what he asked for. And that's why I wanted to call this stubborn prayer. When you ask for something, you believe you receive when you pray. Okay? Understanding that there may, in this case, there was warfare literally going on in the heavenlies. That may be going on to get your prayer answered, too. That's not the only reason that can cause time. Sometimes there's finances involved. Tam was telling us before Bible study tonight, God is in the process of answering some prayers for them. Well, there's other people involved. Nathan's employer is involved. The whole job situation is involved. Sometimes In the financial realm, God may have to work out some things. Where you work may have to land a certain contract in order for you to get the promotion that you've been praying to God about. I mean, there's a lot of things to work out sometimes. Okay? Time is involved. What's our job, though? To keep believing that we received right then, when we prayed, right? All right? Let me read this next paragraph. From God's point of view, it would have been... Now, before I read that, listen. How many times, even on TV today, people that I love, people that I respect, there's always a big controversy going on. Well, do you ask God more than one time? Or do you ask Him one time and then just thank Him for the answer until it comes? And you still hear both sides on the TV, you know? I mean, and men that I respect on both sides. But now look at this. From God's point of view, wouldn't it have been nonsense for Daniel to keep asking him to answer the same prayer every day? God had already dispatched the angel with the answer. I mean, look at it from God's point of view. I'm on the throne here. I see Daniel. You know, they say God sees Daniel. Ask for this answer. And God says, Gabriel, or whichever angel it was, get to it. Get the answer to him. Gabriel's gone. God's watching the next day. Daniel's praying. Oh, God, give me the answer to my prayer. Wouldn't God be going something like, I already did. He's on the way. I already answered it. I mean, wouldn't it be? And then the third day, oh, God, please answer my prayer. And God's going, I already did, you know? See, what Jesus is trying to tell us when he says, believe you receive it then, right then when you pray. God answers the prayer right now. Now, it may take some circumstances and it may require some time for that answer to get to you, but there's no point in asking again. Asking again is like, well, he didn't hear me. I mean, you know, it's just no faith in that. Can you see how nonsense that would be for Daniel to keep asking for the same thing the second day and the third day? How would God answer that? Well, I already sent one angel. What does he want me to do? Send another one? I'm going to have to send 21 angels, one every day here, you know? You see what I'm saying? It's nonsense from God's point of view. He already answered the question, all right? If you prayed for something, a specific, and I'm mainly talking about material things tonight, okay, it works for anything, but we're mainly talking about material things tonight. You ask God for a kitchen furniture, right? What was it? Living room furniture. All right. You ask Him. You start. You just ask Him once, right? And then from then on, thank you, Father, that you heard me when I prayed. I thank you for the new living room furniture before Christmas. I just thank you for it. So every day, you know, she didn't go back in the next day and go, I don't think you heard me because the living room furniture didn't show up yesterday. So, you know, I want to ask you again, okay? That'd be just like one of my kids coming to me and saying, when they was little, let's say like just a little older than him, and they say, I need a new tricycle. Can I have a tricycle? Yes, you can have a tricycle. We'll go to the store Saturday and get it, okay? Now, there it is. We got a transaction, right? He believes, he received when he asked, and he shall have it on Saturday. But now what if he comes up the next day and says, would you get me a tricycle? You know, I go, well, Scott, actually, you know, I told you yesterday that you can have the tricycle. We're going to go get it on Saturday. You did hear me, didn't you? You know? And then the next day he says, can I have a tricycle? You start wondering, what are you feeding this boy? He's not thinking straight. You know, he can't hear me or something. I don't know what's going on, you see. I think God's like that with us a lot of times. We ask, He answers, it's on the way, and the next day we come in, well, He must not have heard me. I'm going to ask Him again. No, He heard you the first time. There wasn't any point in Daniel asking Him again, but it was important that Daniel... Oh, he bumped his head. It was important that Daniel stay in faith. Now, the point of this one, you got to remember, Daniel lived under another covenant, okay? And sometimes fasting is involved, isn't it, Gerald? Sometimes fasting is involved. Most of the time with us, faith is just involved. What I mean by that is you don't give up on expecting your answer to come. You don't stop thanking God for it. I don't care how long it takes. Okay? Now, okay. I'll just start again on that paragraph. From God's point of view, it would have been nonsense for Daniel to keep asking him to answer the same prayer every day. God had already dispatched that angel with the answer. The prayer had been heard, answered yes, and the angel was sent with the answer. The key on Daniel's part was to continue in an attitude of receiving until the answer showed up in the material realm. Now listen, until Adam's lease runs out, and what I mean by that, between now and the end of this age and the start of the millennium, okay, there is going to be resistance from wicked spirits in the heavenlies trying to keep you from receiving your answer. There is literal warfare going on between angels and demonic spirits in the heavenlies. Sue, what's the name of those books that we like so much? Piercing the Darkness and This Present Darkness. Probably the best book. It's a fiction book, but the way he writes it is probably as close as we're going to ever get this side of glory to understanding that warfare that goes on. Literal warfare between angels and demonic spirits, just like in this case. Okay? We really enjoyed those books. We wish they'd make a movie out of it. In addition now, besides that warfare going on in the heavenlies, guess what else? You got plenty of demonic forces on the earth trying to convince you that God never heard your prayer in the first place. And if he did, he must have said no. Y'all ever get discouraged? How many in here be honest and say you ever got discouraged from the time you prayed until the time you got your answer? And what is the point of the discouragement? What's the devil trying to get you to do? Quit, right? Now watch this. That is, let's go what the Bible says, 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence, everyone say confidence, that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's just another way of saying, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, that he heard you, and that you have it now, when you prayed, and then you shall have it. Okay? Just another way of saying the same thing. What matters is that he hear us, see? Notice there in 1 John 5:14, we know and if we know that he hear us, then we know we have it, right? So the point is, what really is important is, does he hear you? Okay? Now, for him to hear us, we must ask according to his will. And this is where people get all goofed up. What is his will? See? When I was growing up, and a lot of you probably when you were growing up, from various preachers and different people, I heard all kinds of things about God's will. Well, you know, it's God's will for you to carry this sickness and disease, but don't get bitter about it and just rejoice in the Lord. This is your cross to bear, and you'll glorify God by just praising him and thanking him anyway, right up until you die. And that'll be such a witness to the other people. You know, I mean, I heard stuff like that. Didn't nobody else heard anything like that? God put this sickness on you to teach you something. So they could say that this way. They hardly ever did, but they could say God's will is that when his kids need straightening out, he puts cancer on them to straighten them out. How many of y'all would put cancer on your kids to straighten them out? God don't either, see? So if you want to find out what God's will is, number one, Jesus is the will of God in action. Okay? Anytime you hear baloney like that, unless you can find Jesus going around putting cancer on folks to teach them something in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's hogwash. That's not true. Unless you find Jesus going around destroying people financially to keep them humble, somebody's giving you something that's not the truth. That's not the will of God. Now, what is the will of God? 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above How many things?
All.
How many? I wish sort of, kind of. No, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. God, get it straight, my brothers and sisters. God's will is prosperity, health, and peace of mind. That's God's will for you. I don't care what preacher told you something else. I like the Apostle John's preaching myself. He knew Jesus better than anybody. And he wrote that. He says, I wish above all things that you prosper. Everyone say prosper. God wants me prosperous.
God wants me prosperous.
Say healthy.
Healthy.
God wants me healthy.
God wants me healthy.
Say peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
God wants me to have it.
God wants me to have
every
it.
Day.
Every day.
When things are going good. And when things are going bad. I always have peace of mind.
Because
that's God's will for me. And when I ask according to His will. He hears me. And if He hears me. I got it. Say, well, I don't feel like I got it. That's got nothing to do with 3 John verse 2. You believe you receive it. You start confessing it right in the midst of everything that's going on. Guess what? You shall have it. You shall have it because that's God's will. But it's received by faith like everything else. See, every one of those three things were purchased for us at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. How could it not be God's will to prosper Gerald when Jesus bore that poverty specifically at the cross for Gerald? How could it not be God's will to prosper Donna for the same reason? Any devil, any thought that says contrary is strictly a devil. Let's see. God sent His Son to the cross to be stripped naked of every earthly possession so that He could bear Donna's poverty, so that Donna could be poor. Does that even make sense to you guys? I mean, God is not confused here. We're confused. We've had a lot of preachers help us. Okay. How could it not be God's will to heal anybody of any disease? When, what are you telling me? Jesus took those 39 stripes on His back, the ones, you know, that they tell me they had glass and bits of flakes of metal sewn into them so that it laid open right to the bone. 39 of those lashes He took for your healing in order for it to be God's will for you to remain sick? It doesn't make sense. Jesus to bear everything, every disease, carry every pain for women to have miscarriages? I don't think so. This is not God's will. And I don't care what devil comes and says otherwise. It's just the devil, that's all. And it's a liar, just like its father. Hallelujah. Man got a page, you got to go. I'm talking about Scott, who is how old?
1 year
old. He's got the pager and headed out the door. You got a message, you got to go. Hallelujah. Dr. George would like that. Doctor in the making here. Hallelujah. Okay, all of these things were purchased for us at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are available free to everybody by grace, to everybody who will believe it by faith. God is withholding no good thing from us. Now, see, that's what the devil, boy, I don't like to read those too fast and just pass over them, because right now you'd say, yeah, God's withholding no good thing. But when you're in the midst of the battle, when you prayed, and it's been 21 days since you prayed, and you need an answer real bad, and the devil's shouting in your ears, it ain't coming. God did not answer your prayer. You haven't been good enough for God to answer your prayer. You know, and it's been 21 days, or let's say a month, or let's say 2 months, or let's say 3 months, or let's, you know, I don't know how long it's been. And the devil wears on you and wears on you and wears on you. Where is it? Yeah, where's your God now? You prayed 2 months ago. I don't see it. Do you see it? You know? And he's going, sure, God answers prayer. Yeah. Where's your God now? And, you know, little by little, he starts wearing on us and wearing on us and wearing on us. And if you don't stay strong in the Word, if you don't pray in other tongues and keep your spirit built up on your most holy faith. Most people never make it. Most people go down because they give up. It just gets hard to keep thanking God, you know, for something that you haven't seen yet. But those that don't quit, guess how many times they get it? Every time. Every time. Now, God is withholding no good thing from us. Our foundational right to pray and receive the answer is the blood shed for us at Calvary. Many never receive because they do not ask, but most fail to receive because they give up. They do not persist in prayer until the answer comes. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, and I took this from the Amplified Bible. I really like this. Now, this is Jesus. If Jesus walked through the wall right here and said, "Gary, would you mind to sit down for a minute? I have something to say to the people. Would that be okay with you?" Okay. Is he all right? Is that okay with you? Okay. If Jesus, you think he's going to say anything different than he's already said? He'd walk in here and he'd walk right up to Linda and he'd tell a parable. Or actually, he'd walk up to this whole bunch and he'd say, and here would be the effect. He said, "Here's what I'm going to tell you a story and here's why. I want you guys, Thursday night Bible study, all of you, to pray and never turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up." That's Amplified. Isn't that good? So the next time you got tempted, it had been 21 days and you hadn't seen the answer, you think those words would come ringing back to your ears? Let's see now. Jesus said when I prayed, He did not want me to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. I think I better keep on thanking Him that He heard my prayer. Go on to the next page. To action page. Hallelujah. Is he trying to talk? Hallelujah. Okay, stubborn prayer. Action page. You only ask the Father once regarding anything. Can y'all see that from Daniel's story? Was that simple? We're not confused about that anymore. When you pray, you got it right then. Don't have to ask Him. Okay? From then on, you say, you know, like the next day, if it hasn't manifested where you can touch it yet, "Father, I sure do thank You that You heard me when I prayed. I thank You that I received it yesterday when I prayed, Lord. I want You to know that I know that my answer's on the way. I received it yesterday, and I'm just thanking You for it. Oh, Lord, it's so good to have it. I have it by faith right now. Someday I'll have it in my hands, but I just thank You for it, Lord. But I shall have it. Thank You, Lord. You heard me. It's on the way. I know it is." Okay, see, you know, that's how you do it. Now, never ask twice. You're just asking for trouble when you do that. You're telling the devil you didn't believe God heard you the first time. Okay, 3. Believe He answered when you prayed. Thank Him daily for having already given you what you asked for. Now, did y'all like this? Never, 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 never quit. How long, Brother Gary? No? That's the right answer, but I always say, how long, Brother Gary? 10,000 years. If you set yourself with that frame of mind at the beginning, it won't be that long till you get it. Let me tell y'all something. I'm fixing to show you an example, real examples, from mine and Sue's own prayer list. Now, when something goes on our prayer list, it'll be there 10,000 years if I have not received it in my hands yet, if I live that long. What I'm saying, it'll be there. It don't go off the prayer list until I get it in my hot little hand. Do you understand me? Now, I'm very careful about what we put on that list. I don't just flippantly put something on there. How many of y'all heard Dave teach protocol? Now, I talk to the Holy Ghost sometimes for days. You probably don't know what I'm talking about. It's worship. You get the tapes. You'll get in there. Protocol is really how you approach the Father. I mean, He is the Lord God of everything. And you know, he gave us some instructions on how to approach Him. But before I ever put things, sometimes I'll talk to the Holy Spirit for several days, sometimes a week or more, before I'll actually petition something. I want to make sure that this is okay, that I'm headed down. For example, what good would it, if God wants me here in Tulsa teaching Thursday night Bible studies, what good would it do for me to be asking God for a second house, you know, in Omaha? You understand? That's the kind of thing I'm talking about, to get the mind of the Lord is all. Okay? You know? Now, it'd be fine to ask him for a bigger house here. See? If that's where he wants us to be, in Tulsa. You understand? But I don't need to be asking him for one in Omaha. Okay? If he wants us here. You understand? Does that part make that simple enough? Okay. Now watch. Even after the... Now, with Sue and I, the way I do this, even after the answer is manifested where you can touch it and feel it, I continue to give God thanks for it daily for a while. I don't want to be like the 9 lepers. Y'all remember that lesson? Who did not return to give thanks after the Lord had answered their prayer? Personally, I thank Him before I can see it, and I thank Him after I can see it for a while. I don't do it, you know, the list would be forever. But I've always got 10 or 15 things that I'm thanking Him for that I can see. Prayers He's already answered. All right? There is nothing, now get this, there is nothing that the Father will not give you that is consistent with a godly lifestyle. Nothing, Betty. Cars, business, clothes. There's nothing He won't give you. How can you say that? Can y'all look at this? Romans 8:32. Now you read it with me. Or list this. Now pay close attention. This is the Word of God. He that spared not His own Son, that's the Father, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? There's nothing He won't give you. Do y'all notice it says give, not pay? He gives it. Everything you get from God, you get it free by grace or you don't get it. See, we're always trying to work for it. People try and convince faith people like myself that what I'm preaching is works. No, I'm not either. You're going to receive this free by grace or you're not going to get it. If you start getting the mentality, well, I'm earning this by walking the floor and confessing the Word, I got into that before. You've already violated grace. The only thing that really does, that keeps your faith focused, it keeps your hope alive, the vision before you, it keeps you strong in an attitude of receiving. That's all for your benefit. You're not impressing God. Okay? That's just keeping the switch of faith turned on, your expector turned on.
Fasting doesn't move God.
That's right.
Fasting is for you to hear God.
That's right.
To put your body under to hear God.
That's right. Hallelujah. Okay, now, I made some examples here. Now, I picked these because these are so simple. And I want you all to understand, these are actual entries in my prayer list. For example, by the way, you can go ahead and look at this next page. Y'all see this? It says petitions. Isn't that pretty? I made that on a computer today. I kind of like that. I want you all to take that with you. And you don't have to type in there, okay? I mean, you can handwrite. I want you to Xerox you some pages of these, and you know, or something like them, and handwrite your petitions in there. Now, you don't have to do it the way I'm doing it. I'm just telling you one way of doing it. Okay? And I could... Well, okay. We'll just start here. The date requested, November 15th, 1995. Sue and I ran out. We were running out of firewood. Y'all going to have to go?
Yeah, he's tired.
Okay. Well, we'll see you later on. Boy, it's rough when they're that age. Hallelujah. November 15th, 1995, just last November, we were running out of firewood here. And now, you got to understand, we don't need firewood to heat the house. If we have a fire going, it's just because we like it. You know? I mean, actually, my dad tells me that this kind of a fireplace draws more heat out of the house by going up the chimney than it puts in the house. But I really love a fire, okay? I love sitting there when it's cold and just watching that thing burn. It's just good for my ego, my soul. Everything is at peace, you know? And God knows that. He knows I don't really have to. It's not like, if I don't get firewood, I shall die. No, it's nothing like that. He knows I dislike fires. In the wintertime, I like to have a fire. Well, I asked him, November 15th, Father, we're about out of firewood. We didn't really have the money right then. That's when I was fighting that financial battle. Y'all remember all that testimony? And before the guy came that caught us up through the end of the year, I was behind on bills. I didn't have, you know, when you're behind on bills, you don't go out buying new stuff. You know, if you get money, you pay it on the bills you're behind on. Well, November 15th, I said, Father, we need some firewood here. All right. December 2nd. And I can tell you exactly, we had 3 sticks left. We had 3 pieces of firewood left out there. A man called me and said, hey, he said, what are you doing today? Oh, nothing much. He said, would you have time to help me go load up a load of firewood on my pickup and take it down to my house and stack it there beside the house? Sure, I can go help you. Now, on the inside, I'm just like anybody else. I'm thinking, well, thanks a lot, Lord. We're needing firewood, and here you send somebody for, you know, me to go help load their firewood. Okay, fine. Okay. But I went, and, you know, get in the pickup, we go, and it was cold and everything, you know, and we're loading firewood into the back of his pickup. Boy, I mean, we had that thing. It was squatting on the ground now when we took off. It was... I mean, we had a load of firewood on there, you know what I mean? We get to his house, and he's doing the stacking. I'm standing in the truck handing him the wood, and he's doing the stacking, you know. And, boy, we're just working in and getting. And at one point down through there, he says, that's enough. And there's still quite a bit of firewood left, and there's room to stack it. And I'm going, what do you mean that's enough? No, Holy Ghost told me the rest of it's for you. So then we come to our house, my house, and he and I stacked the rest of it out here, and that was exactly enough to last us the rest of the winter. We had our firewood. That's how it works. Didn't cost me a dime. Okay? Now. Yeah, I started to put it on here because that one, I didn't want to blow y'all away. You know, that one still, you know, it usually doesn't manifest that fast. Just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I asked for a laser printer at 7 o'clock in the morning. Even Sue didn't know that I'd asked the Lord for that one yet. I hadn't, you know, just hadn't talked to her. 2 o'clock that same afternoon, someone knocks on our door, got a laser printer under his arm, brings it in. We've got it in there right now. That's what's printed, all this stuff you've got in your lap.
And now, like the microwave, our microwave broke, and it took about a week. We asked the Lord for a new microwave.
Yeah.
And after about a week, somebody brought a brand new microwave still in the cart.
See, if y'all look around our house, the couch that you're sitting on came this way. That microwave came this way. The computer I had in there came this way. The firewood came that way. And to be honest with you, that's the second thing I've got on here. In June, I had that other computer that the Lord had sent maxed out. I mean, I didn't have any more room on my hard drive, and I had more stuff I needed to put on there. So I asked the Lord. The only thing I really asked for was a bigger hard drive. On June the 1st, I made a formal petition. I wrote it on there. Father, I need a computer upgrade. I need at least I need 1 gigabyte hard drive or better. I thank you for it. I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. All right? On September 19th, somebody handed me the money. Well, 2 things happened in the same day. One guy came, handed me some money, and said he knew a guy that could upgrade my computer for $460. Within 10 minutes, somebody else came and handed us a check for $500. Now, what would you think? You know, I think the Lord's in this deal. And so, now get, I only asked for a bigger hard drive. But the Lord not only I asked for 1 gigabyte or better, He sent a 1.6 gigabyte. That's a big one. He also sent twice the memory. I had 4 mega memory on there. Now, I mean, 8 mega memory. Now I got 16. He also sent a processor. I did have an SX25. Now it's a DX100. I picked this one. I'll be honest with you. To me, mine and Sue's prayer list is a very private, personal thing. I don't want y'all seeing our prayer list. You want to really know why? Huh? Well, it's none of your business, okay? But that's not really it. Knowing you guys, if you all knew we had a need in a certain area, you guys would try and fill that, and that's not what we're about at all. I don't even want you knowing. I only want God knowing what we need. And when we get it, then we'll give you the testimony. How's that?
Well, okay. What would be wrong with them if they wanted to buy a debt-free house?
Well,
I
picked this one because at this point in time, I didn't really think any of you could just open up your wallet and buy us a debt-free house, okay? So I picked this one specifically for that reason. You know, I didn't put some of the little stuff on there that you probably could, because I hate preachers. Yes, I live by faith. See me live by faith, you know. Yes, and right in front of you go, oh, God, I'm praying for a new pair of shoes or whatever it is, you know, just, you know what I'm saying? You know, and really all they're doing is just, yes, we live by faith, you know. You know, just got their hands sticking out, put a little money in there. I hate that crap, don't you? You know, I don't want anybody but God to know what I need. He's our source, and if he chooses to use you, he'll talk to you. He don't need me to talk to you. I don't need to let you know nothing. But now, whatever he says to you, do it. Okay? It will prosper. Hallelujah. But now we, Sue and I formally asked him on May the 7th for the house. The reason why, God said some stuff to us. And said, well, this will be the time to ask. So we asked. Now, on my list, that's on there. Every day. Father, I thank you. I'm sure she's doing the same. Father, I thank you. You heard us when we pray. Sue, we was driving around on the west side here the other day, and Sue's going, I wonder where it is. God already knows. And they were building one brand new one, and she went, I wonder if they're building that for us. I mean, it's that real to us. Our house is here somewhere. It's here somewhere. Now, we don't know where it is yet, but God already knows. The answer has already been sent. And as long as we continue to thank him, we'll have it. We received it then, May 7th. When did y'all get your debt-free house? May 7th.
And it's filled with all manner of lists.
That's right. It's a good house. It's a good house. Now, we shall have it, but we received it May 7th. We took title deed in the Spirit May 7th. Okay? You got that? Now, get this, you guys. Right, I counted them today, so I could put this on here. Right now, today, September 26, 1996, Sue and I, on our list like this, we have 21 current petitions that we are thanking the Father for daily that have not manifested yet. 21 things. Now get this. We have 16 items on that same list that we are thanking the Father for daily that have already manifested. Things like the couch, the microwave, the computer, the firewood, and a lot of other things.
And we started doing this in about February, or we didn't start right away.
No, it was, yeah. No, it was about February.
February.
Something like that.
95,
yeah. Now, see, and I go, I'm trying to get... God told me once, he says, son, you don't understand the business of prayer. I said, business? And he was saying like a business. To God, it's like a business. He's God. He's provider. He says, I've made certain mechanisms available to my children so that they can receive from my hand in the earth. Prayer is one of those mechanisms. He said, but my children, he's talking to me that day. He said, you don't even understand the business of prayer. You think somehow I'll do it anyway, and I won't. He really can't. The way he set it up. See, God is sovereign. He sovereignly chose to set up this system called prayer, grace, and faith. Now, you can choose, say, well, I don't like that system. I'm going to do it some other way. Fine, but you're not God. God set up the system. Your job's not to change it. Your job's to get in there and do it. Operate in the system he set up. What system is that? What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. That's the system. And I don't care how many religious people shout at name it and claim it, folks. Fine. I'll just continue to name and claim our couches, thank you, and our microwaves, and our computers, and our firewood, and anything else we need from God. And we'll continue to get it, and they'll continue to be sad, okay, and mad about it. Why argue with what God set up? Why argue with what works? This works. And it works every time. In fact, I'm so bold as to have written this. Hallelujah. Now, we have 21 items on there that have not manifested yet. Get this. As sure as the sun rises and sets, it's as sure as that, we will eventually have manifested every single petition that is currently on our list. There is absolutely not a shadow of a doubt about it. That is, if we do not quit. If we don't let the devil talk us out of it and say, well, eventually convince us, well, God didn't hear me. I guess that project, that faith project's over. That was a dud. If he ever gets us to do that and just quit thanking God for it and get our faith turned off and just wipe that out, no, they won't come. It won't come either.
But that is the reason why we continue thanking God for the things that have manifested already, because that helps you to remember. So when those thoughts like that come, like, oh, this doesn't work, oh, blah, 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 you know, all of those thoughts that you get, well, it does too. Look how it worked here before. That's stupid.
See, Israel did that all the time. They'd go, you look it through the Psalms, Our God who split the Red Sea for us. It is God that delivered us from Pharaoh with a high hand, stretched arm. Yeah. It's good to remember the things. So that's another reason why I thank him for stuff that's already manifested. I thank him for the fact that our car is debt free, which it is now. It wasn't when we started calling it debt free, you know. You do understand that. I thank God that we're totally debt free. We weren't when we started calling ourselves that, you know. But we are now. We don't know anybody anything. And it's going to be that way the next time you see us too. Hallelujah. Jesus concluded that same parable with these words. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in the faith on the earth? That's from the Amplified Bible. Now here's my paraphrase of that. In context, Jesus is saying, when I come to your house, Will I find you stubbornly standing in faith, thanking the Father for what you believe you received when you prayed? What do y'all say? Is he going to find you that way or not? Okay, good. Hallelujah. Now let's look at this last page. You don't have to do it this way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is just a way. If you think of some system that works for you, fine, but I'm asking you to do a system. Most of you have not because you ask not. First off, you had a lot of preachers tell you that you shouldn't ask, shouldn't bother God with firewood. I mean, God's running the universe. There's wars going on, you know. He's not interested in your flaky firewood that you don't even really need.
That's the same thing that devil tells you. You're just being selfish. Anything to get you to not pray and believe God for things.
That's right. But Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, what things? Firewood things, microwave things, couch things, computer things, same stuff the Gentiles, the unbelievers who have, remember last week, the covenants of promise? All those people that have no covenant with God spend their whole lives trying to get. God says, no, you seek me first. This, and that's what I meant by, if you're not going to operate in forgiveness, forget this. You know, that's part of seeking first the kingdom of God. You will forgive, you know, or you're just not serving the Lord now. Just get it straight. You're still rebellious and you're going to have your own way. And that's why Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, you cannot operate in unforgiveness and strife and get this to work. I'm telling you right now, forget it. It will not work for you. unforgiveness and strife is probably the it is so opposite to what Jesus did. You know, we have been so totally forgiven by Him, completely, no strings attached, and that's exactly the way we're supposed to forgive. You say, well, that's not possible for a human being. With God, all things are possible. He said, you begin praying for those people, I'll make the changes in you. And I can tell you from experience, He does. But that's what I meant by seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, that does come in there. See, it's like, let's just use Andy since he's the closest. You know, I mean, I don't know Andy real well, but I've known him enough. I know Andy enough, if God said, if God, and he knew it was God, and I'm just making this up, Andy. Okay? But if God appeared, if he said, you know, on your drive home tonight, all of a sudden the Lord Jesus appeared in the seat beside you when you're driving. And he said, hello, Andy. And you said, hello, Jesus. And he says, I want you to quit everything you're doing. I need you to be a witness for me in Afghanistan. And I want you to leave all your friends and your family and everything you know, and I want you to leave Friday. Would you do it? Yep. See, I know Andy. And Andy is here to serve the Lord. And that's what Jesus... Now, somebody with that kind of a heart, Andy, there is nothing you can ask Him for that He won't give you. Do you understand what I'm saying? People get mad at like Kenneth Hagin for having a Cadillac car or a nice car. Not just Kenneth Hagin, any of these preachers, you know. And God will give them a freight train if they need one. Yes. I mean, dear God, we was watching CBN this morning. God gave him that airplane. You understand what I mean? I mean, it's got a hospital in it. Do y'all know about that? It's one of those LT-11 massive things. It's a whole flying hospital. I don't know how many doctors and nurses and surgical equipment, and it's a multi-million-dollar thing. And they've totally redone it. It's better than new, and the thing just flies into the Philippines or just flies into anywhere where there's trouble going on, or where there's real poverty in peacetime, and they just bring them in free, and they start fixing cleft palates all kinds of surgical things, and they witness to them and get them saved all at the same time. Now, what a deal. And here, you know, people say, well, you shouldn't believe God for firewood, and God gives Pat Robertson an airplane? Now, you know, and if Andy needed to, when he got to Afghanistan, whatever it is God called him to do there, now, what do you think? I keep saying, you know, Jesus is like the CEO. The chief executive officer of God and Sons, Incorporated. Okay? Now, let's see. How smart do we think our executive officer is? He calls Andy, says, Andy, I want you to go to Afghanistan, and I want you to print Bibles there. That's what I want you to do when you get there. You're going to print Bibles. So Andy gets over there. He starts looking around. Lord, it would be a good thing if I had a printing press. You know? It's really hard to print Bibles without a printing press. Father, I need a printing press. And maybe he would get specific, the kind he needed and all. Now, what do you think? The Father's going to tell Andy to go and print Bibles and then not answer the prayer about the printing press? Does that make any sense to you? That's ludicrous. But that's the way we are all the time. All the time. We're out serving God, best of our knowledge. We're doing everything that He wants us to be doing. Now, if you're not, that's another lesson. We'll teach on that another night. You know, and I'm not saying 100%. I don't know anybody that's walking 100% obedience. There may be some that say they do, but I don't know anybody. Do you, Gerald? Gerald and I was talking this just earlier, Tuesday night. We was praying and talking a little bit. And Gerald and I have learned from hard experience. Boy, I mean, just the instant we catch either one of us kind of saying, well, oh, so-and-so, you know. Boy, I mean, we've learned through hard experience. No. No. I'm not walking perfectly myself, and I'm in no position to judge here, okay? Okay, we'll just pray. We'll just pray, all right? So I don't know anybody that's walking perfectly. But as long as your heart is towards the Lord and you're... I mean, you wouldn't be here This is Thursday night. Are you people crazy? People don't go to church on Thursday night. What's wrong with you people? You want God? You got a heart for God? You wouldn't be here. And you think He's not going to answer your prayer? Something that you need? It sure is quiet in here. The only thing I'm trying to get you all to do is get more systematic about it. Okay, here's the other part. Before I started doing this, I would forget. Sometimes there's quite a while between the time you pray and the time it comes. I would forget whether I'd really forget, did I ever ask Him for that or not? After 2 or 3 months, I mean, you know, especially on smaller stuff, this helps me remember. It also helps keep my faith alive every day. I've got it written down. It doesn't take that long. I go through that whole deal every morning. And a lot of other things on there. This is just part of it. This goes into our bread section of your workbook. Give us this day our daily bread. Y'all have been here on the nights when we had like 26 people. What do y'all think? We need a bigger house? I don't think that's outlandish at all to ask God for a bigger house. We need what? You know, He's got plenty. We work for the richest Jew that there ever was. This is not a problem. Okay. You know, when our car starts getting to the point, we need a better car. I'm not hesitant at all about asking Him for one. He's got plenty of them. He's got plenty of cars. How many of y'all think there's a car shortage in the kingdom of God? You know, God says, well, I wish you'd ask me last week. We had a couple of dandies. I mean, we had some really nice models. If you'd have just asked last week, but, you know, Oral, he asked ahead of you. You know, so we got a shortage this week of nice cars. I'd love to answer that prayer. What do y'all think? That ever happens in any way, see? Or anything else you could think of to ask. All this does, it helps jog your memory, number one. It helps keep the switch of faith turned on. Every day you just thank Him that you received it when you prayed. Sandra, would you be willing to do something like this? You don't have to type. Do you understand the form? Okay. You know, what I'm saying, you don't have to type it or anything. You just hand right across there, draw your line under it, write another one. You know, draw a line under that one, write another one. Okay? And then when the answer comes, put the date over there, if you want to. And that just helps me remember. Now, I'm going to tell you one other secret, and I'm going to close. What does that mean? Nothing at all. No, really, I am. One day when I was going through this, God taught me a real lesson. I was going through that list, and some of the things be honest with you, at that time, now see, I have the advantage of having the computer. I'll be honest with you, I got two lists. I got one page where it's current stuff that I'm asking God for, and then when the answer comes, I copy it off of there and paste it on the next sheet. You know, cut and paste, okay? So I had that advantage. So one day, though, I was going through there, and the first one, my first page, was the stuff that I've asked for, but I can't see yet. They haven't manifested yet. So I was going through there, and I was thanking Him for this, and Father, I thank You that You heard me when I prayed for that, and it's just so wonderful to have it, Lord. And I was going through there. And then when I flipped to the next page, which was things like the couch and things like the microwave that were already here, I started thanking Him for those things, and the Holy Spirit says, do you notice a difference in your attitude when you're thanking Him for those things than when you was thanking Him for the things you can't see yet? And I said, yeah, I notice a difference. He says, you know, when you get to the place where there isn't any difference, it will greatly speed this process up. He says, because to me, there is no difference. My word and my answers are the same. There's no difference to me. See, we keep forgetting we're finite. Time means something to us. He's infinite. It does not. With God, all time is now. Now our minds go tilt. But to God, He's with us tonight here at Thursday Night Bible Study, and He's with Joshua and the Israelites in the Old Testament. It's all the same to Him. And the day you pray and the day you get your answer, it's all the same day to Him. Now, we have a hard time with that. But the part I could relate to, the Holy Spirit says, when those things that you can't see yet, when you're thanking me and it's as real to you as the things you've already got by faith, you'll greatly speed this process up.
As far as
He's concerned. That's right. All been answered. That's right. I heard Kenneth Copeland say this one time, and now I really will quit. Okay. I heard Kenneth Copeland. Y'all do pray for me lying, don't you? Amen, Gerald says. Copeland, I heard Copeland say one time, he was just, this was quite a few years ago. I think this, you know, when this was probably 10 years ago when I heard it, and I think he was telling about something that was 10 years before that. But he was just really upset. You know how you get, sometimes you just get upset. And he's going, God, all these people praying all them unbelieving prayers, what do you do about all them unbelieving prayers anyway? And God said, what unbelieving prayers? Yeah, well, you know, all them prayers that people pray in unbelief and everything. God's going, what unbelieving prayers? You know? And that's when the Holy Ghost brought to him that very verse there. God don't hear no unbelieving prayers. If we know that He hears us, we have it. Okay? Now, if you're praying out of a hope so, maybe so, kind of so, maybe so God will do this kind of, maybe if you're having a good day type thing, He didn't hear that. That's not believing you received when you prayed. Those kind of prayers never come across the Father's desk, if you could allow me that. Okay, you know, they don't ever reach the desk. They don't ever get there. That's not believing you received when you prayed. And that's the only kind of prayer He hears. Now, if He hears it, you got it. So God was saying, why do I believe in prayers, Kenneth? I don't know what you're talking about. You know? Okay? Isn't that something? To God, there isn't even any such thing. Unbelieving prayer? I mean, to God, He's going, that doesn't even make sense. Unbelieving prayer. Why would anybody bother? You know, if you're not going to believe, why pray? Is this straightening it out some for you guys? Sandra, what will He get? You're back now? Listen to it again a few times. Get you a copy and listen to it again. Hallelujah. There isn't anything. Now, okay. Okay, I'm not going to quit. Betty, you remember that when, I think you was here that night that I taught on the two lists? If not, let me mention this. When I first started praying in the trucks, we just like everybody else, our list was very material. I want a new Dodge Ram. I want a new Intrepid. I want this and I want that. And it was all material things. But I started praying in other tongues, spending a lot of time praying in other tongues in those trucks, you know, and I'm driving and praying and driving and praying. To be honest with you, after a while, I wasn't living by this. You know, it was kind of an if so, maybe so, be nice kind of prayer. Months went by, I'd forgot all about that list. Later on, I made another list after the Holy Ghost had worked on me. That list, I've still got it in the computer in there somewhere. I forgot to get it. It was things like, Lord, give me a heart that loves people more than money. Father, I pray that the anointing of Jesus flow through my hands, that when I lay my hands on the sick, they recover. Father, I pray that I hear the voice of Your Spirit every day, and that I'm in Your perfect will, step by step and moment by moment. Don't let me get out of Your will, Father. You know, and it was those kind of things, you know. And then there were people on there. Oh, God, I pray for so-and-so, you know. And then I made that list. I still remember where I was. It's that little truck stop that George hates there in Arkansas. I always liked the place. They had good ham and eggs for breakfast. You know? I wrote that list, and it dawned on me. Wait a minute. I wrote another list. And I went digging through my briefcase, and I found those two, and I put them side by side. I could not believe the difference in the two lists. You see? What? And it's not that God is against you having any of those things. But see, I was just after the things. I didn't care much about the kingdom. At that point, I didn't much yet have a heart for people. We weren't willing to do this. The heck with you guys. You know what I mean? You understand? He hadn't given us that kind of a heart yet. But as time went on and I prayed in the Holy Ghost, that's what happens to you. He changes the insides of you, your motivations, even what you want. But now, do y'all think God wants you blessed when you come here? If I need a computer to prepare stuff for you guys, you think I have any hesitation about asking Him for that? And guess what? He'll send it too. And it's like that. We need a bigger house if that's really what He wants. I mean, if that's what we need in order to do what He's... God's got lots of houses. This is not a problem. If we need a second car, anything we needed that's consistent with a godly lifestyle and in the flow of His call, you can have it. Is that clear enough? I'm really going to close. Amen. Yes. Okay.
About the furniture. Now, I just wanted to say,
okay,
because you didn't tell them.
Yeah, go ahead and give your testimony here. Here.
Oh my goodness, the microphone. But anyway, I had been confessing and thanking Him for the living room furniture, and my mom called me about 4 days ago, and she said, "Tam, I've been thinking about
Christmas."
Yeah, I had been confessing and believing that we'd have living room furniture by the end of the year, and so my mom called me up and she said, "Tam, I've really been thinking about what to get you and Nathan for Christmas." And said, what I'm wanting to do, and tell me if this is okay, is give both of you a gift together and get you new living room furniture. Would that be okay? And I'm like, that's great, Mom. And it was, no, she had no idea. And what was even better to me is I was wanting, you know, a couch, a chair, and a love seat, which is what it's going to be. But the deal is the couch is a hide-a-bed, which is even better because we have a two-bedroom, two-bath home, and when people come over, they have no place to sleep. Plus, when Nathan comes in from the route, some of the time, Jonathan's asleep in bed with me, and he doesn't want to move Jonathan over, so he sleeps on the floor, so now he'll have a bed.
Hallelujah. Exceedingly abundant.
Yes, above all that I ask or think.
And so. How long did you have to... From the time you prayed until that answer came?
It was approximately a month when she called and told me that. And what she said was that, you know, it was Christmas. And then she said, but I can't wait till Christmas. I'll probably give it to you before then. So.
See, and that's close. You know, that's a little, even more than 21 days.
Yeah.
See, now I've asked the Lord. I'm still learning about this. That day that printer came, the same day, I prayed at 7 in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I got it. I want y'all to know, I went to my list and I said, God, do you know how long some of this stuff's been on this list? I mean, you know, but apparently that one there was very needful, see, for what we need to do. I mean, it was something overdue that I should have asked for a while back. I was probably just behind the schedule. I mean, sometimes you get one of those overtaking blessings. Y'all know when the Xerox machine came? I'd never even asked for a Xerox machine. But we needed it. I just didn't know it yet. I was behind the plan. Okay? Okay? So, everyone say, I have stubborn faith.
I have stubborn faith.
I never quit. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You're dismissed. Hallelujah.